Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
I'm so glad I'm avoiding Waz right now.
Why?
I don't feel like hearing none of that Toronto shit. I just did not feel like talking.
It's coming soon.
Yo.
Oh, I know it's coming soon.
Yo, I'm right here right now.
Well, what up, y'all?
Yo, what's good, bro?
Ain't shit.
Yo, what up?
Man, right, this,
so,
this man, I mean, dog.
What you got?
Oh, wow.
What you got? Yo, what do you want, man? We brought you here. It's the birthday of your savior, your Lord, Tupac Shakur. You should be happy we even called your ass, man.
Yo, man, I mean, I want you to know, dog.
You get a nose ring today?
You know what, dog? You know, because I really enjoy my job. I can't say what I want to say right now, but I'm gonna take dog. You got my ass standing in some like DC alley right now, trying to like explain Look. My perspective on this because yo butt.
You can say ass. No, come on, now.
Say ass. I didn't know, man. Yo ass couldn't call me when the shit was really going down. I'm sorry, well, I said something else, but whatever.
Well, here's the thing.
You're fully you know allowed to curse, Justin. You're fully allowed to curse.
Yes. Oh, well, in that case, man, your ass couldn't call me when this shit was really going down.
Well, see, man, here's the deal.
I had to get called out on Twitter because of this.
Here's the deal. As fate would have it, I was in the same position you were in last week. And so I was in no condition to remember to call anybody or say, hey, let's get a different perspective or whatever.
Respect. Yeah.
But again, it's his birthday week, so we brought you and we stacked the deck. Because that's the other thing. Everyone complained. They said y'all stacked the deck against Trey.
Because that was some messed up stuff, bro. That was some you stacked my man Trey by himself.
Was it though?
Yeah. It was hashtag East Coast bias. That's what it was. And I live on the East Coast.
But Pac's from the East Coast.
I mean, look, bro.
Where is he from?
He's from New York.
We don't know where he's from. No, hold on. He's from everywhere.
He's
from Baltimore.
Time out.
He's from LA.
Time out. Y'all had y'all week last week.
My bad.
What are the questions y'all want to ask myself and my brother Black Trey right now? Oh, man.
I have a question.
Yes. Go right ahead.
So this has been burning me up, bro. So I just need to know. Everyone keeps telling me the Pac. First and foremost, let me just let you know. I've listened to mad Pac songs throughout this week because I really do fuck with Pac. Let me just put that out there.
Okay.
But I've been asking everyone, if someone was to ask me, yo, give me a big verse, right? I probably would hit them with the, you niggas got some audacity. You sold a million, now you half of me. Get off my dick, kick it, bitch. Something like that, right? What is the Pac verse that if I was like, yo, give me a Pac verse?
Jerv, I got the answer for you. Hennessy, enemies.
Hold on. Time out. Because you got me stuck.
You're the friend of me.
Hold on. Jay, you got the bleep button ready, right? That's what I need to know. Hold on. First of all, Jerv and Amin, y'all ass can shut the hell up right now. Because you know what? I want to know what songs y'all are talking about when he says Hennessy and enemies. Give me like three songs where he says that right now.
All Eyes on Me?
No. I need songs. I need specific songs. Because if y'all going to use this, you know, tired ass joke, I need to know the specific song. Now, granted, he does say it in songs, but if y'all listen to all these songs, if y'all listen to all these, like, records, when you got me on here right now, what songs is he saying? Hennessy and Enemies and all this type of stuff that y'all are saying right now. What songs are they?
He's got a song called Hennessy.
What songs? That's one. Maybe that's one. Where's the other two?
I just want to know the verse.
You know what? Look, I can give you Ambitions as a Rider. I can give you the third verse of I Ain't Mad at You. What you want me to keep going? All three verses of Dear Mama. Look, let me tell you this.
Okay.
When you brought Mark Lamont Hill on, and the brother is very smart. I'm not taking anything away from him. Look, Jerv. First of all, congratulations again on the new adventure in fatherhood, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Amin, you already know I'm riding with you on everything that we got going, that you got going on right now. So it ain't nothing about that. I support all y'all brothers and all y'all endeavors. But if we talking about this specific issue, Tupac Amaru Shakur, y'all brothers are dead ass wrong. Y'all know y'all wrong. Y'all know y'all look. And Mark Lamont Hill, one of the smartest brothers in media right now. Cool. But if you can't sit here and tell me this dude is the most influential rapper, is the most important rapper, and then come out your mouth and say he's the most overrated rapper, there's nobody else.
Go ahead.
My
fault. But he's overrated.
No, he's not.
Hold on. Here we go.
How are you overrated if you're the most influential and you're the most important? I'm here for the bars, bro.
So here's the power. The power of the internet. Someone has compiled all the different times, right? In the aptly named song Hennessy. Hey, remember me down the Hennessy? You don't want to see. Let me proceed.
Hold on, Okay, my fault. I'm gonna put my phone on mute. I'm gonna let you get all of your stuff out. How about that?
How do you want it? It's either him or me, champagne, Hennessy. I favorite on Mahomes and rosé on enemies.
I like how do you want it too. It's a good song.
Yeah. Under pressure, puff weed and stuff. G's on the side. G, caught keys in Hennessy with a Glock.
I love the voice, by the way. I sound like the Dave Chappelle skit.
That's all I'm doing there. On the song, never had a friend like me. Just me and you evading enemies. Let you get my last shot of Hennessy. Yo, I wish this is a spoof, man. I wish this is. You know what? It's funny. You know what it's like. A long time ago, someone compiled every single time, like Puffy's ad libs, and if you read it out, it's like it's so ridiculous. Like if you listen to his ad libs during Juicy, he's talking about sheets, pillows. Like he just talks about the craziest things. For Tupac, all of it is Hennessy and enemies. Every thug style. I got my Hennessy on your hose.
So hold on. Let me ask you this. And Jerv, yeah. I want you to comment on this too, because I know y'all are hip hop aficionados. I know the type of crowd that I'm talking to right now, and this is why I respect having this conversation. And Jerv, I want you to know objectively, I think Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time. I do. I truly think that. Like my two favorite rappers of all time are Jay-Z and Tupac. I mean, shut the hell up, because I know you're gonna have something else to say about that. But like, seriously, you remember when that clip came out? Like, what is it, 2019? Good God, we are old. When that joint came out around like 2004, 2005, when people was like, "Oh, Jay-Z, I'm not a biter, I'm a writer." And they copied all the lyrics where Jay-Z like bar rhymes from other rappers. Then what would you say about mm-hmm. that? It's the same thing, bro. Like if you're talking about Tupac, Hennessy, and enemies. Like the Jay-Z borrowing lines from people, that thing was like 5 minutes long.
But he's not a biter, he's a writer. He's just bigging up his brother. He's saying big versus only bigging up his brother.
Exactly.
Okay, no.
Plus he knows his own flow is foolish.
No. And I give you that. Jay-Z, again, objectively, and one of my favorite rappers of all time, one of my two favorite rappers of all time, by the way. This is like some LeBron type Jordan type thing I'm going on here. But here's the thing.
Would Jay-Z be Jordan? Would Jay-Z be Jordan?
First of all, hold on. Tupac ain't no LeBron and ain't no Jordan.
Wait a minute, bro. You compare, man, bro.
Hold on, time out. I want to say this real quick.
I'm going to put my phone on mute, so go ahead.
All right, just real quick. I just want to say I'm so happy that the Tupac birthday tribute episode that was to be a rebuttal the last week is going so well.
Like, yo, for, all right.
It's because both of y'all got laughing asses on here. East Coast. You know what I mean? No, that's all it is. Because we're talking about, like, again, I'm not saying Tupac is lyrically the Notorious B.I.G. I'm not saying Tupac is lyrically Jay-Z. I've never said that. Because nobody's ever claimed Tupac Shakur was the equivalent of those. People have always said Tupac Shakur. And look, Mark Lamont Hill said it himself. He's the most influential. He's the most important rapper. And that's what it is. You can't be overrated if you're the most
influential and the
most important. Nobody's ever said Tupac is lyrically Jay-Z or the Notorious B.I.G. I've never said that. Who have ever said they like Tupac Shakur is the equivalent of Jay-Z or Biggie Smalls? Nobody ever said that.
I think that's the whole basis of the overrated part, right? Like it's everyone, and no one will ever, for as much as we troll everybody with the Pac shit, You know what I mean? No one's ever going to take away Pac's influence on the culture, Pac's influence just on the world, Pac's just being how to this day there's still artists that had Pac's cadence, his demeanor, like everything about Pac. No one's ever going to deny that. He's an amazing actor. He's all these type things. The world would be so much better if Pac was still around. But if you listen to me, you know where I'm about. When it comes down to the bars, he's overrated. Right? Like overrated doesn't, it's like saying Kobe is that's like a Kobe fan being mad if you say Kobe Bryant's the second or third greatest Laker of all time. It's no disrespect to Pac to say
because look, I love y'all brothers to death. This is why, this is the sole reason why I'm on this drum, because I love you. I love Jade. Jade, are you talking about Tupac right now? I don't know if you are or not, but you know what? You're on the call. I know you are. Yeah, I love you.
He's not even on the
call. This is
awesome, by the way. This is awesome.
I could have sworn I heard Jade on the call, man. Look, I love you. I love Amin. And it ain't got nothing to do with that other than that. But here's the thing. When we talk about, Tupac is a lyricist, of course. Nobody has ever said Tupac is the greatest lyricist of all time. Nobody's ever said that.
A lot of West Coast people that's going to ride with them bars, dog.
No, because those bars mean something to them, like, emotionally. Ain't nobody going to say he's better than Rakim. Ain't nobody going to say he's better than Biggie. Ain't nobody going to say he's better than Jay-Z. Because
he's not
here's
better
the
than
thing.
Cube.
Here's the thing.
So hold on.
No, you agree.
Hold on.
I've been giving y'all all this time to talk.
Okay.
I've been giving y'all all this time to talk, bro. I've been giving y'all all this time to talk. So you mean this dude got songs in the Library of Congress, bro. You mean to tell me if you got songs in the Library of Congress, your lyrics don't matter? Because he didn't say abomatomically, rhombically, whatever y'all be saying in New York. You know what I mean? Because he don't be saying that. It don't matter.
Yeah, like, let me just say, bro. Yeah, so now the Library of Congress is the Library of Congress.
I'm not saying it's the benchmark, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody inducts your song into like the Library of Congress, bro, you can't tell me Dear Mama don't deserve to be in the Library of Congress because his lyrics matter the same way that, like, you know what I mean? Wu-Tang may matter to you.
Or he made that song on the East Coast.
You know why? Because he was going through some drama on the East Coast. You know what I mean? He was filming above. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with no East Coast, West Coast stuff, bro. You trying to drag me into some stuff that don't really matter. But what I am trying to say is nobody has ever said that, like, Tupac. Well, again, I can't say nobody. I'm saying myself. Myself. Go ahead, Amin. Because I've been talking a lot. This show.
No, because the question I want to ask is I want to frame it the same way that Mark Lamont Hill framed it last week. Like, so you didn't disagree with the part where he said I can name 30 guys who are better rappers than Tupac.
I mean, if we're going off just straight lyrics, like, yeah, I mean, if you want to go, like, bomb-atomically doing all that time and stuff, then, yeah, there may be 30 better rappers or lyricists, but it's the same thing. Like, I wouldn't say, like, Steph Curry is a better overall basketball player than LeBron James. I think LeBron James is a better basketball player because he got, you know, more things going for him than that stuff. But, like, shooting ain't the only thing part of basketball, although it is a very, very important part. I'm not saying that it's not. And, I mean, look, you know way more about basketball than I do, bro. I'm not saying that I do. But I'm just saying that is – you can't just judge straight lyricism off the only criteria that you judge, like, the greatest rappers of all time. That you just can't. Because if that's the case, then, yeah, Tupac definitely won't be in there. He won't. Because he's not the lyricist that Biggie Smalls is. He's not the lyricist that Nas is. He's not the lyricist that Jay-Z is. He's not the lyricist that Wu-Tang is. He's not the lyricist that OutKast is. And I think me personally, I think OutKast is the greatest group of all time. That's just from where I'm from.
Just better than Outlaw?
No, man. Y'all fools got me on here, man. Let's talk about it right now. Better than who?
The Outlaws?
Yes, dog. OutKast is better than Outlaws, Outside, outside of the area code that we are, whatever you want to say.
I might be biased. I probably put the Roots as the greatest group of all time, but I
understand I ain't mad at you for that, bro. And I'm not mad at you for that. But here's the thing: hip hop has always been a genre that is connected with people on an emotional level. Now, if that emotional level is the Jay-Z, is the Rakim, is the Nas, is the Biggie, that look, I won't take none of that away from you. But you can't sit here and tell me when Tupac Shakur says, "No, ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away, and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a shred." You can't sit here and tell me that a young kid growing up without his pops and hear that lyric, that don't mean something to them. Just because.
Oh, no, but you pick like one of literally his greatest songs ever.
I can pick whatever, dog. This ain't an anomaly, bro. But I can't say it, man. You got me like, oh, like, you got me all misconstrued right now, dog.
You should get some Hennessy.
You know what? Maybe I will get some. You know what? You know what? Tupac had the greatest diss record of all time.
I'll give you. Whoa.
No.
The greatest diss.
He had the most, to the core. I'm sounding like the OVO hour right now.
The greatest diss record, just yelling at people?
If I dropped a record right now, and the first thing you heard on that joint was,
I ain't got no motherfucker. So I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Westside.
You mean to tell me that's wrong?
That's
dog,
wrong.
And then he closed it out with a spoken word soliloquy at the end.
But he was lying though.
Oh man, now y'all sound like Jay-Z after Ether.
I'm just saying, bro. Like I already condone Lloyds.
You already condone what?
Lloyds. Y'all never heard that before? A Lloyd.
Look, man. It was all cool. We're like Pusha dropped all that stuff about Drake and all that.
Whoa! What we not gonna do? Listen, bro. We not gonna disrespect King Push real fast. Yo.
Look, I'm not disrespecting. I think it was
point out the
fair
lie.
Game. What he did?
Better rapper.
Look, Push is better rapping
than Pac too. Yeah, that's good.
All right. See, here's the thing. You know what, Jerv?
I'm just saying, look, Jerv.
You've been up way too many nights. You know what I mean?
I've listened to a lot of music during this time too.
I bet you did. How does Louis Armstrong sound right now?
Hey, listen, I'm messing with you, bro. Louis might have better bars his damn self.
better rapper.
You know what? Ain't none of y'all proved to me like why Tupac is overrated, bro. Ain't none of y'all proved to me why Pac is overrated.
Well, yeah, yes, we did. The bars.
No, you didn't. No, like because here's the thing. If you're telling me Tupac is overrated because of the bars, you're telling me like that people have been saying Tupac has the best bars of anybody who has ever lived. No, Tupac's bars have hit because of their emotional experience. That's all it is, and that's all I'm saying. You can't sit here and tell me he's overrated, because if you were to tell me he's overrated, that's me saying that like, oh, Tupac's bars are better than anybody from a lyrical standpoint. I'm saying Tupac's bars. No, and I'm not. And look, I'm not saying that you know Tupac's "Dear Mama" is better than Jay-Z's like "You Must Love Me." I'm not saying that. That's my favorite Jay-Z song of all time. Mm-hmm. But look, I can listen to Jay-Z's "You Must Love Me" the same way I can listen to Tupac's "Dear Mama" and still get the same type of emotional experience. You can't take that away, not just from me, but from anybody who listens to it.
But that's what I'm saying. Tilly, look, I'm gonna be serious for a second. It seems like the Tupac supporters seem to value the emotional connection more than any other facet of how good of you are at rapping.
If it's not an emotional experience, then what is NWA Straight Outta Compton about? Why are we still talking about that 30-some years later when we're talking about police brutality, the way police treat black people in America?
There was bars on that song, though, too.
Bars, because there were bars.
What do you mean there weren't bars on Tupac's Dear Mama? There weren't bars on Keep Your Head Up? There weren't bars on, like, Brenda's Got a Baby? What are y'all talking about right now?
I'll say this. There's two different Pacs, right, to me, right? That
that's always been the case.
But pre-Death Row Pac is a whole nother animal that I fooled with way more than I fooled with Death Row Pac. Doesn't mean I didn't like Death Row Pac, but pre-Death Row Pac had way more, maybe not wordplay, but wordplay. Like he did more with his flow. He had more of a flow to me than Death Row Pac.
You know why? Because he was surrounded by people who were lyrical. It's the same thing that happened to Ice Cube, only Ice Cube. Like, but when Cube went to the East Coast, his rapping got better, man. That's why people don't want to understand. Like, he got better.
Y'all are tripping because Tupac was only on Death Row for like 10 months. People keep talking about this whole Tupac Death Row thing like in 2-3 years.
Like, he dropped like 30 fucking albums.
Hold on. If Tupac Shakur is overrated, tell me why within the span of 18 months, he released Me Against the World, which is considered a hip-hop classic. Maybe not between y'all. It was Me Against the World. It was All Eyes on Me. And then he dropped the Machiavelli album. That was 18 months with three albums.
Wait, what Machiavelli? Are we talking about Machiavelli?
I'm talking about the Machiavelli album with Hail Mary.
To live down in L.A.
Man, dog, that was
To Live down in L.A.
Yes, dog. I'm telling you, from March 1995 to November 1996, that was three albums within the span of 18 months. Tell me another rapper that has dropped three albums of that quality in a year and a half. Tell me.
DMX did.
Hold on, that's what we disagree.
That was two.
Hold on. That's what we disagree. You said, tell me another rapper that's dropped three albums in the span of 18 months. I'm like, okay. Then you said, of that quality. I think you're stretching the word quality on the like,
no, bro. I'm not, bro.
You said it was all eyes on me.
Jerv and me. March 1995, that was Me Against the World. Yeah. February 1996, that was All Eyes on Me. And November 1996, that was Machiavelli.
I couldn't say this last week because my daughter was in the room. I can say it this week because she's not.
Respect, I understand. Respect.
A lot of All Eyes on Me. There's a lot of dope songs, but a lot of that shit I really liked, to be honest with you, because it was songs I heard in the strip club. 100%. 100%.
Filler. A lot of them songs were just filler.
If we hear a lot of songs in the strip club now, that's part of the experience.
A lot of those songs are bippity bop.
No, it's not. Okay, all right. I mean, my fault, bro. This your show. This you and Jerv's show. You know what I mean?
But like, here's my thing. Like, All Eyes on Me. I said it the day I listened to it the first time. I say it 20 years later, however long it's been, almost 25 years later. If that were a single CD album, it would have been fucking banging.
Like Blueprint 2?
Like Blueprint 2. No skips. Would have loved it. But it was a double album because he's trying to get out of whatever. And that's all well and good. I get the business financial thing behind it. All I'm telling you is it produced a lot of filler tracks that I've never gone back and said, let me bump this thing again. Never, never, never. Right. And then Machiavelli.
Go ahead.
And then Machiavelli, I thought was just like, it had like maybe three songs that I like.
Nah, see, I'm gonna disagree with you now.
You're wildin', bro.
I'm pulling up.
Can I interject?
No, you can't.
Toss it up. Is that what y'all doing?
That's literally the only song. That's literally the only song. 11 out of 12, bro. All the man. I'm sorry, Jerv. My fault.
I'm pulling up right now. Hold on.
Yo, so we go.
Let Jerv go.
What you about to say about All Eyes on Me?
I was just gonna say I feel like Amin is so incorrect on that.
Yes, he is.
all filler. It's only one song on there that I could say is kind
what's
of,
your phone number?
I wouldn't listen to. What? What's your phone number? Is a classic.
What is your filler?
Oh, the one filler? What is it? When We Ride. That might be the only man. Song on there that I really
y'all about to make me pull up fucking All Eyes on Me.
Hold on.
Every song on there is a banger. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is every song.
This is why.
Every song, bro. What is he talking about?
This 27 is tracks, bro. No it. Fucking way. You trying to tell me 26 out of 27 is bangers on that shit? Hell,
I listen bro. To them shits, man.
Nigga, at the end of the day, it's 20 out of 27, bro. Hold on. I want to know what was the filler on Machiavelli? Because I can give you
on a double disc.
On a double disc, I can give you 27.
You already named like one of my main ones that I fucking can't say.
What's your phone number? All right, cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't like that song.
To Live and Die in LA is so trash.
What?
All right, here's Machiavelli.
I want all of us to go through every track. Yep. I want all of us to go through every track.
Bomb First, I fucks with it.
Yep.
Great. Yep.
Hail Mary, I fuck with it.
Great. Yep.
Okay.
Toss it up. It is what
great
it is.
That's the one. I like
it. Hold on. You know, this is what I want to, before you continue, this is the point I want to make. A lot of times.
What?
People who like Pac, they don't let themselves admit these songs are trash because what it meant for them at that time. It was
a strip club means nothing.
That's a strip club song.
No.
I couldn't go to a strip club when this joint came out.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the idea that it was a West Coast flag waving song. We back and we don't care. Or look at us.
Okay. Let Jerv keep going.
Musically, like to say Toss It Up was a dope song. Come on, man.
Okay. No one has said it's not as strong. I could admit that.
All right, Jerv, keep going.
Yeah, I am, but I mean, you might be right. I'm looking at this shit. All right, toss it up. We already did that. To live and die in LA.
A classic, bro.
I fuck with that song. I do.
A classic.
To Live and Die in LA is great.
What's the next one? Blasphemy?
Blasphemy.
Unrelatable.
Yes.
Yes.
I can see the on Blasphemy.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Hold on. Give me a 20-second timeout. We ain't got to go to commercial on this. What do you mean is the hold up on Blasphemy, bro?
I love Pac, but I can see how it could be viewed from a different perspective.
I mean, when the last time you listened to Blasphemy, bro? Honestly, probably like November of 96. Yeah, November 96.
No.
February 2000.
I hang around Tupac fans like you, and I have to ride in their car, and they got to play this bullshit, and I got to listen to it. So it hasn't been that long, but yeah, definitely not like in the last 10 years.
My fault, Jerv. I'm getting way too carried away. Go ahead.
That's cool. Life of an Outlaw.
Yes, he got the okay. All right, go ahead, keep going.
I think I like that song. I'm not sure. I think I do though. I don't think I like Just Like Daddy. I don't think I like that song.
That's a good song.
What? Duh, here's the thing.
I don't think I like that song.
Amin can't tell you what these dope songs are. I know he can't.
Bro.
And that's the reason
I'm gonna tell you why, Justin. Let me put it to you like this. And I like Jay-Z. Jay-Z's one of my favorite rappers. Someone came up to me and said, "Me and My Girlfriend" was a dope track. The one with him and Beyonce. I'm like, No, it wasn't.
Pac's version was better.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Pac's version was an actual like metaphor. That's what I liked about it. It wasn't about a girl at all. It was about a gun, right? But like Jay-Z's was a very literal, like, oh no, she's my girlfriend.
My point is this.
Like, there are whole tracks. Like, I know what girls like. I know what they like. I'm not going to say
that song
sucks. That was a bang.
No. I'm not smoking no Sherman Angel Dust. I know. Matter of fact, I can't.
Who likes that?
I don't know. Yo, no one likes I Know What Girls Like.
I've never heard anyone say, whoa, don't skip that one.
Duh, and I love Volume 1. I think Volume 1 is a classic. Aside from that song, I even like Sunshine. I just don't like the video. I just don't like the video of Sunshine.
They had Babyface on it. How could you not like it?
Yo, that's the thing. Out of Volume 1, the only song I don't like on Volume 1 is I Know What Girls Like. That joint sucks. And even Mo said it.
You listen to Lucky Me?
You don't like Lucky Me?
I love Lucky Me.
Nah, I'm skipping that.
Bro, you skipping Lucky Me?
See, this is the shit. How are you skipping Lucky Me?
Bro, that shit comes on so slow in the middle of the album of all bangers. The album is riding all the way up until that point. And then I hate all girls with ulterior motives.
That's why I'm 20 plus years old, no sons, no daughters. They put my life in the hands of fake promoters. I'm like, come on, dog. Good job. He got on that joint.
Bars on I Know What Girls Like too. Jay is always gonna spit. We not debating whether or not he spit.
But the song is not listenable.
Even Lucky Me, I Know What Girls Like.
Is Lucky Me the one? That's the one where he's talking about. That's not the one he's talking about killing his brother, right?
No. That's You Must Love Me. Hold on. You don't dislike that, right? That's my favorite whole song.
Lucky Me.
My point was. I feel like Tupac fans are reluctant to admit when some of these songs are trash.
We've only named one that's trash on Machiavelli.
Really?
We named a couple.
What songs is trash on All Eyes on Me? I need to know, please.
There's still five more songs on.
My fault, Jerv. Go ahead. Listen.
I can go through them real fast. Watch this. Yeah. Crazy, White Man's World, Me and My Girlfriend, Hold Your Head Against All Odds.
What's the trash song on all of them?
I like Me and My Girlfriend.
Yes.
And I think I like Against All Odds.
Against All Odds is great.
Then that's the song I like. Okay. That's about it, though.
Hold on. Time out. You don't like Hold Your Head? You don't like White Man's World?
Hold Your Head is great.
Come on, bro. Come on, man.
Everybody's got different definitions of what they feel is great, I guess. I don't know.
I said I was only going to be on here for like 15 minutes and I got to go back into this open barbershop. Man, y'all fools got me like...
Hey, bro, make sure you get that Hennessy. I will. Stay away from your enemies.
Hold on. Now I got more time because it's like pouring down out here. So we can talk for at least a couple of minutes. I ain't going to walk out there.
Before we go any further, just wanted to introduce everybody to Black Opinions Matter. We are here recording the show. I'm Rob Lopez, joined by Amino Hassan, John Gervais, Justin Tinsley, Jason Madison. Trey will join us a little bit later. Guys, continue where you were. Tupac, Rob, everybody wants to hear the other side.
Rob, you know how I know that they already knew? It's because when they clicked on the podcast, it says Black Opinions Matter on it, and they looked at the description.
Hey, Rob, I ain't mad at you, dog. Look.
Sponsored by Hennessy.
You know what? I'm sick and tired of y'all saying this whole Hennessy and enemies thing.
Hold on, time out.
If you want to read more, go ahead. I ain't gonna stop. Go ahead.
Say what you're listening.
I was interested in kind of hitting on stuff people were talking about on Twitter and their anger for the pod last week, which, by the way, you're welcome. The one big thing everybody was kind of upset about was the ranking, I guess, how we rank people ahead of Pac. Where do you guys think all time he lands? Let's say that. Where he lands all time.
Oh, man. Let's go, Justin. I want Justin to speak first.
I already told you. Like, Tupac is in my top two of all time. It's him and Jay-Z. Like, you ain't got to agree. Yeah. For my top two is him and Jay-Z.
Over Big?
Look, I want the record to show. I love the Notorious B.I.G. I want to shoot one of my birthdays one year. I want to rent out like an Airbnb and like recreate like that the One More Chance video. I love Biggie Smalls. But if we're talking about just like catalog, I gotta go with Pop just because he got a longer catalog. And that's not Biggie's fault. It's not.
Again, we're not including Machiavelli 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in this catalog, right?
I'm talking Pop from 91 to 96.
Okay. I still go Big, but hey, man, listen, teach us on that.
Look, I ain't mad at you. I'm not, and I love Biggie Smalls.
No,
I want the record to show. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. Because I know you will, because you love doing that.
No, By the way,
I'm standing under these steps right now, and it's like raining like hell. Excuse me.
Oh no, you can curse, brother.
It's raining like shit in DC. It's raining like shit in DC right now.
I'm in New York, man. It's the same out here.
Oh, it's doing the same up there?
Where's he at in your rankings?
I don't even want to know where Amin got him, dog.
Top 20.
I mean, like, to me, here's the funny thing. Like, I can figure a way where I can say he's top five. But if you ask me to name rappers I'd rather listen to, the list would be endless. And that's the point. We never said he was trash. All we said was he's overrated, right? The idea, much like Kobe is over, actually, Derb, you hit it best. Much like there are people, when you say LeBron or MJ, there's that dude who walks up and says, what about Kobe? It's the same thing with Pac, man. We talking about who's the best rapper of all time. Biggie, Jay-Z, or Nas, right? Here come the Pac people, like, hey, what about Pac?
Can I ask you this question? And Jerv, I want you to answer this question too. I'm not asking y'all favorite MCs of all time, because I understand he won't be on there. And you know what? Honestly, that's just fine. He's not your favorite MC to listen to. I'm not trying to make that case for him to be your favorite MC to listen to of all time. When you're like 55, 60 years old and you're talking to like younger kids and they ask you, who are the like top five rappers, like top five most important rappers of all time? Are you going to say Tupac Shakur isn't one of them?
Well, when you put important into it, yeah, I would put him into that.
I got young kids. One day my kids will be old enough. When we go through like hip hop, they'll listen to Pac. I'll let them listen to some Pac. But if you said to me, hey, I mean, because this is what we're talking about in the rankings, right? You get to choose one rapper between Biggie or Pac that your kids are gonna listen to. Like, I'm sorry, they are gonna listen to Ready to Die.
And I get that.
And Life After Death.
I get that. Like Biggie,
and
like,
Born Again.
Why are you gonna give them a choice between like Biggie and Tupac? Though I get the East Coast West thing.
Like I said, he's influential and all that stuff. But if you're asking me in terms of importance to me, like if to rank them, right? To rank them is to say, when I say this person is one, that means if I only had one person you could listen to out of everybody in this genre has ever produced, you can only pick one. Then that's the one. If you say top two, you say, okay, if there's only two people they could listen to out of everyone's ever been in this genre, then I'm taking these two. If you tell me there's only three people they could listen to, then that's what the ranking means. So that's why I say, he would be fifth in my top five.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that. So I want to ask you and I want to ask Jerv a question. So like, let's say 15 years from now, I can't say 15 because by then like kids will already have formed their opinion on some stuff. But let's just say for the sake of the argument, 15 years from now, your kids ask you like, yo, Pops, like, what do you know about Tupac Shakur? Is he one of the greatest rappers of all time? Like, what would you say?
I would say yes. But that's all I wanted to know. But it's the same as if people ask me, is Kobe one of the greatest players of all time? Absolutely. Of course. For sure. He's one of the greatest. But the problem is, people who like Kobe don't want it to be one of the greatest. They want it to be the greatest.
And people who love Tupac don't want to be one of the greatest.
Okay. They want him to be the greatest. And I'm like, no, that's a stretch. And I'm sorry, me calling you one of the greatest is not an insult.
You should be fucking honored. Here's the thing. My fault, Jeremy. Go ahead. My fault. Because I asked both of y'all. Go ahead.
No, that's cool. Mount Rushmore has what, four, right?
Yeah, four. Yeah.
All right. So for me, he's not on my Mount Rushmore.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Of artists. You know what I mean? Just for what I like as an artist, just for what
personal
I like.
Personal preference.
You know what I mean? But I understand his importance. So he's probably, I mean, if I had to rank him and I'm not just going to go off of bars, which is what I love, but if I'm not just going off of bars, he'll probably be like right outside that five, definitely in my top 10 as far as hip hop artists. But the problem is that Pac fans don't, it's like, well, how can he not be one, two, or three? You know what I mean? It's like, easy. There's Biggie, there's Jay-Z, there's Nas, there's Rakim, there's Uncle, there's Ghostface, there's Scarface,
by the way, Cube. There's a name that not enough people talk about. I wouldn't say he'd be my answer, but I'm surprised more people don't talk about it as the greatest of all time.
Scarface?
LL.
You want to talk about longevity?
You want to talk about adapting to the times? You want to talk about music for all the different groupings of whatever people listen to hip hop for the different reasons?
He's super disrespected.
Because I think because I think he's kind of a cornball personally, but like,
but also
that's what it is. LL is great, but he's hella corny, and his ending was not cool. You know,
he didn't have the ending that Tupac did. That's the thing.
But hold on, what do you mean by his ending?
20 years
though, he was going strong for damn near 20 years. Of course, like yo, you go that long, I don't give a damn how long.
Sure. But if I had to pick somebody in that legacy genre, I would probably take Snoop over LL.
But see, now Snoop to me is a funny one.
I'm taking Snoop. If you ask me to take Snoop over LL, I'm taking Snoop.
But here's my thing, I take Snoop.
I guess
I like Snoop better than I like LL as a person, and I think Snoop's high notes were way higher than LL's high notes, and LL had really high notes, but the highest of heights Snoop like obliterates almost everybody, right?
Right.
But when you look at his whole catalog, dog, you can't. That dude started in 85 and ended up in like 2005 and had like solid, consistent. Like, you can't, like, Snoop ain't had it that long, and Snoop has a lot of misses.
It looks better for LL too because he did it all by himself. He didn't have no Dr. Dre. He didn't have nobody, no homies.
There wasn't nobody influencing that pen.
He had the Def Jam machine, bro. Russell Simmons, and he had Rick Rubin and all those guys. But to be honest, like, if we said right now, you know, we're gonna go to a concert and they're gonna play only the hits, right? It's gonna be the every favorite song of yours. But if you don't want to pick one, you go to
Snoop.
Yeah, I'm taking Snoop.
I'm probably going to Snoop. Yeah,
but they're gonna be more hoes than LL, bro.
Ladies love Cool James, bro.
For sure.
Yeah, well, it comes to cutoff point. Like, yo, ladies love Snoop too, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Ladies love Snoop.
Oh, they do.
Ladies love Snoop.
So, I mean, if I go to a Snoop concert, I'm not going to show up for about 2 hours after the start time because Snoop's not coming on stage anytime
soon. And you know exactly why.
Oh, yeah, that's my man.
Yeah, Snoop concert going to be all smoky and stuff. Snoop concert going to be a bunch of, there's going to be a bunch of niggas in there. There's a lot of, like, LL, you're going to have these girls with the dresses. Like, they came out for a good time.
Well, it's going to be all your aunties and stuff now.
That's true.
Right. So, Jason, where do you rank Pac, Jason?
He's two for me. I feel like the same thing. Like, you either It's Jay. Jay got to be number one.
I can never put Jay one.
You could put Biggie.
You can never
put
Jay one.
I don't have.
You can put Jay one.
I can't go there with Jay right now, bro.
Jay's the only one to ever check off every box. You know what I'm saying? He did the longevity.
Exactly.
He gave you the full career, lyricism. He did everything, you know? And unfortunately, Biggie shit got cut short, so we know that in our minds he would have been that. But we can only go off of what's there.
Are y'all ready for one of my hottest takes ever? Way hotter than anything I've ever said about Tupac.
Nope, because my phone about to die. I'm about to get off right now. Okay, I'm trying to hear that.
I'm going to definitely say it while Justin's still on, so you can hear me mad the rest of the night.
Thanks.
Jay and Beyonce profited the most off of the death of Biggie and Aaliyah. If those people hadn't died, them motherfuckers would still be second class.
Yeah, you're fucking smoking crack, dude.
Are you saying more than puffy?
What's up?
Yeah, all right.
You said more than puffy.
My phone about to die.
No, puffy was like, God. That's different. I'm not talking about profited. Like, yo, this nigga died. All right, how? I'm talking about
I know what you mean.
That vacated by those people allowed them to grow into what they are. And if those people hadn't died early, they would have just been like, Like they would have been like in the background, like, oh, nice little
why? But why would it have been at least for Jay's perspective? I don't want the hive to come after. He was never comparable to Beyonce.
So you saying Jay-Z is Pusha T without Biggie dying?
No, hell no. Why wouldn't they be Magic and Bird?
Hold on. You know what? That's actually a great way to put it.
Hold on.
He'd be loved for his lyrics. He'd still be rapping about moving weight and all that stuff. Meanwhile, big mainstream appeal, all the stuff over here there. Yeah, man, I like that. He'd probably be pushing.
So you're saying he wouldn't be the master of all flows? He wouldn't be the master of all flows?
Wow, man, you really saying this right now?
I've felt that for my entire life.
This ain't even about Pac right now. Because we left that. This is about Jay.
Trey's late ass is going to come in here trying to give takes, man. We don't care anymore.
You're telling me if Big does not die, Jay does not die.
He's just a good rapper. Listen to what I'm saying. Like, in terms of what we're just talking about right now, in terms of lyrically and all that stuff is cool. But you're not gonna be on this dude's level. Like, if you see like Biggie's where his shit was going, man, like it was going someplace that Jay to this point still hasn't hit. Listen to Jay-Z rhyme and listen to Biggie rhyme and realize that Hov is A, older than Big, right? B, been rapping longer than him, right? Because Hawaiian Selfie counts, whether y'all like it or not, right?
And it does.
You look at that and you say, wait a second. It's like this dude who's been toiling and all that. He's up here and here comes this kid, just does a cartwheel. Let me throw this. God, Lord is watching Lord, so I won't go broke. What? Man, I'm telling you. Big was going to be something that...
I fully co-sign that.
No, I don't co-sign that at all.
I fully co-sign that stance.
I think Big would have matured and grown. Here's the thing. Big died at 24, almost at 25. Like, you know what I mean? That's crazy. We look at Tupac and we look at Biggie, and I still look at them in a way that they were, like, so much older than what I was at 24 and 25 when they both died. So it's part of the way I still look at them. But I think Jay's business acumen was so much, like, further advanced. Not just saying it's further advanced than Biggie, but I do believe that, like, he understood the business of the industry more than what Biggie did when he got into the industry. And that's not a knock on Biggie. Because if you go back and look at Jay's, like, interviews on YouTube, they're on YouTube. If you go back and look at Jay's interviews from 96, 97, he understood the parameters of what the music industry would allow him to do. And I think Jay would have understood that. He might have put the game on Biggie. That's all I'm saying. So... I hear what you're saying. If you look at
Jay-Z's specific success, right? It was kind of on the back of, oh, my homeboy died. Like Hard Knock Life, Volume 1, you know? And then in addition to that, like, does the Ja Rule, can I get a song exist with Biggie dead? Does that escalate to that?
Well, yeah, because Ja Rule is one of the people that took Pac's cadence, right? So, like, that would
have happened. Right, but that's what I'm saying. But is Jay-Z even the artist selected to get on that track by Herb Gotti? You feel me? Like, does that
no,
still...
No, hell yeah. Because they were a part of Murder, Inc. Herb rocked with Jay.
I'm just saying, it seems like there was a void that was created when Big passed.
I mean...
That Jay kind of conveniently slid in that probably wouldn't have been there.
I mean, think about, like, Tinsley at the early in this call said, what about the whole 5-minute video of, I'm not a biter, I'm a writer for myself and others. It's like, you know, while I understand what he was doing, and also I think lyrically he was incredible, so it didn't matter whether he got a jump start off of, like, starting a line with a line to the limit, my DC women, right? Like, having said that, it's a lot harder to get those songs popping when you don't have, like, a very recognizable marketing angle like a Big verse, man. That's the thing, man. Like, I'm not knocking his rapping. I'm just saying that the space he was allowed to occupy was there because the dude who was occupying it got shot.
I mean, I'll say this. I understand what you're saying, and to a degree, I get what you're saying. I disagree 100%. And the reason I disagree is because I feel like if Big was alive, I feel as though Jay would be better than what he is right now, because Big and Jay would have been those dudes pussing each other. What the analogy I made was Bird and Magic, right? Like, why couldn't it be these two dudes that were pushing each other to be great?
Because Magic was better than Bird.
Because of Mace.
Okay, so Big could still ideally be better. Come on now. Big could still be better than Jay.
Bird had, you know why Bird was, why is Magic and Bird? No, we know I was Magic.
I understand.
Bird.
But like, right? Big could be better than Jay.
Yeah, but what's Jay Dan?
I'm saying.
But what's Jay Dan? Because you're the other guy from Brooklyn who raps really well. That's what he's always going to be.
Right. And Mace. No. What about Mace?
What about Mace?
Mace never quit.
Why wouldn't he? He still would have ran to Atlanta.
I think Jay would still have been the rapper. I think he Jay only left because Big got killed.
No, he left because some other shit if I remember hearing Capo talk about it on, I think it was Funk Flex. I think Mace got involved with something with one of the head boys, like girls or something like that. If I'm not correct or whatever, you know what I mean? I think
that still would have happened.
So that still would have made Mace run to Atlanta. So that has nothing to do with Big.
So you saying he would have still quit had not Big not had gotten killed, regardless?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, bro. If Big doesn't get killed, we might not even get Mace on Bad Boys because Puff would have put all his energy into
Big. Yeah.
No.
I mean, they had songs together.
What I'm saying is that Mace would have been on Bad. Like, I didn't mean not on Bad Boys.
He would have been on Bad Boys, but on the roster.
The same way Craig Mack felt so slighted because Puff had all his energy into Big. The same thing would have happened with Mace and all those other dudes because Big was Big.
Here's the thing that people don't talk about with Big and Cam and all that. Like, if Big would have never died, Cam might have even become a bigger star because Cam was going to get blown up off of Biggie. Mace didn't blow Cam up. It was Biggie that was going to blow. It was Lance Rivera who was managing Biggie at the time. And Biggie told Lance about, yo, it's my man Cam. He doing X, Y, and Z and all that. So, like, that's another, like, if we're talking about the what-if portals, that's another what-if portal.
You go into the circle of also, if that's the case, if Big is still alive, does Jay-Z ever stab Lance just for publicity? Probably not.
I mean, maybe not. I still think Jay becomes the star that he is because Jay just understood the business acumen. If you understand the business acumen out of anything else, everything else is going to matter. He can still rap his ass off, bro.
And man, if you understood the business acumen, was it... Leave it alone. I was just gonna say, how's the Rockefeller never signed another rapper?
My phone about to die, so I would love to continue this. But look, I thank y'all brothers for allowing me to come on and preach the gospel, preach the truth of 11 months of Death Row Records, I guess you could say. But no, man, it's always fun, you know, jumping on this call with y'all. But my phone is literally on 3% right now, so my shit about to die.
There you go, bro. So, go hit that open bar.
Yeah, most definitely, bro.
And stay away from your enemies.
I'm about to take two shots of Hennessy off y'all haters right now.
No. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the bartender. I want you to pour me a drink, mix this drink. Two parts Hennessy, one part Alizé, one part Jimmy.
That's thug passion, baby. You know what I mean?
Then take your shirt off, Justin.
No, I ain't doing all that. Give me to July. I've been in the gym. Give me to July. You know what
July,
I mean?
So July, you're going to be in the bathtub?
Hey, man, that was a good one. I ain't going to lie to you, bro. I will not be in the bathtub come July, bro. That is what you will not see. But look, I said 10, 15 minutes, and it's been an hour. So... It's been love arguing with y'all boys back and forth, for real.
Appreciate you, bro. All right, bro. Oh, man. There he goes, Justin Tinsley of the undefeated read all his stuff. Catch him on Twitter at Justin Tinsley, on Instagram at Justin Tinsley. He's got a lot of fun insights, a lot of knowledge of history, although it seems to be clouded whenever it comes to Tupac. Anything else on the rundown? I know this rundown was very
pop heavy,
very music
heavy. I think one thing we should definitely touch on that we haven't is the situation in Sudan. And I think to close, I think maybe you should touch on that a little bit. I mean,
Yeah, definitely. So if you guys have seen or noticed people on Instagram, on Twitter, change their avatar to just basically what a lot of people are saying, a blue dot. It's referring to basically what's happening in Sudan right now. So to give you guys, I don't want to go through the whole history thing, but there was a brutal dictator who was in charge for 30 years. His name was Bashir. The people started peacefully protesting in December. And by April, through peaceful protests and demonstrations, no fights, no violence, no gun conflict or whatever. He was overthrown. He was overthrown and kicked him out. And the military helped in that. And the guys who took charge said they were going to help transition the government to a democracy, to a government of the people, et cetera, et cetera. And they kind of changed their mind. And we probably should have seen it come in because one of the main figures of the new people who took control was this guy named Hemeti. And he's basically, he was, as I described, he was the Luca Brasi of Bashir. He was the enforcer, the Bugsy Siegel, the guy who did the dirty work, the clapping, so to speak. If you've heard of Darfur, if you've heard of Janjaweed and the things that happened in Western Sudan probably a decade ago, this dude was the guy who orchestrated all of that. And now he's in charge of the country. And so 2 weeks ago, he basically ordered his militias to attack peaceful demonstrators. When I say attack, I mean open fire, live ammunition, AK-47 spray, beating people, raping women, raping men, going to hospitals, stopping medical professionals from giving any sort of help or assistance to people who are dying from gunshot wounds and things like that. And so it's a situation that we try to bring awareness to because a lot of people don't know what's happening in Sudan. They don't even know what Sudan is. One of the reasons why the guy who's in charge is in charge is because he's being bankrolled by a couple of Arab states, basically Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, because they've been supplying, Sudan has been supplying soldiers for hire to those countries for their war in Yemen. And so there's a lot going on where there are forces and powers that are with deep pockets that are making sure that this animal is in charge. And so, you know, I don't know what to do, to be honest. I posted a video on Instagram and on Twitter. I don't know what to do. I know that I want people to know what's happening, and I'm trying to find out what I can do and hopefully what we can do to help bring about change. I went on the Flagrant 2 podcast today with Andrew Schultz and Kaz and Akash. And, you know, Schultz had a good point. He's like, sometimes the most powerful weapon you have is shame. And maybe what we have to do is shame people into finding out about this and then shame the people who support the people who are supporting the brutal dictatorship that's happening in Sudan. So, you know, as I get more information about things that we can actually do instead of just talking, I'm going to try and share it on my Instagram. I'm going to share it on my Twitter. I hope that you guys continue to share as well, because getting the word out is the first step. I hear a lot of people shitting on social media, social awareness, social media campaigns. I don't do nothing. It does when nobody knows about it, right? Like, if people don't know, then there ain't nothing that can be done. But at least we're going to get people aware and talking about it and doing something about it. And so, yeah, I won't lie, man. I'm happy when I see Cardi B talk about it. I'm happy when I hear LL and Questlove
and Don Cheadle and all these different people across different parts of entertainment, even if all they did was just take the time to change an avatar and just tweet something or post something on Instagram. I saw Mark Lamont Hill talked about it on his show, on his digital show on BET. So the fact that people are talking about it, it means a lot. It means a lot at this stage. And so if you see it, you see us tweet about it or talk about it, please, please help spread the word. Don't tell me y'all dropped out now.
I didn't want to just leave the dead air. My bad, but I agree. You know, I didn't know anything about it until I saw you guys posting about it, and I think of myself as somebody who's involved politically and, you know, stays up in the news and everything. And it was kind of radio silence until I started seeing you and Trey post stuff up. So I just want to say thank you for making me at least aware, you know, of the situation. And, you know, of course, as just a compassionate human being, I care deeply about that. And whatever, you know, little $5, $10, whatever donation thing I could do to help, of course. Yeah. Like,
Jason, the funniest thing is I haven't asked anybody to donate any money because I first of all, I don't even know. That's a big thing that's been happening over the last week. All these fake accounts trying to get clout, trying to get money, like people grifting off of this. Mm-hmm. And so part of me, I don't want to direct anyone in any direction if I don't know where that money's going and what it's going for.
Right.
There's all types of different things that people are take advantage of. And second of all, I don't know if money helps, man. Like it might, I guess money helps everything. But like in a weird way, man, what's money going to do? It's going to buy medicine for people who are not allowed to use that medicine. Right. Yeah. Like it's, and because it's not like a revolution, because I went through that thoughts. I was like, how can we get the people on? How can we fight back? And then, like, as I'm reading and then I'm listening to people talking, like, that's not the kind of revolution this is, bro. Like, these people are prepared to die in the thousands.
And that's the thing that I think is really confusing to a lot of people as well, right, is because we don't know how to help from America and just from our standpoint and trying to understand the situation. It's like you said, you probably can't and shouldn't just throw money at it because, for one, we don't know where it's going. And even if we did, it's probably not the best way to aid in this certain scenario. But what is the actual proper answer to, you know, to be a good humanitarian in this scenario?
Yeah, it's, you know, and the word, to be honest, the stuff that I don't talk about a lot is the man. I don't expect anyone else to feel it, and y'all shouldn't feel it. But I feel like an immense guilt. Like I should be doing something more, and I don't know what that more is. And I see people looking at me like, hey, what should we do? And I don't have an answer. I feel bad, man. I feel like shit. Like, to be honest, I wake up every day feeling like shit because I don't know. And what am I supposed to do? And then is it right that I'm here and I'm not going through that? And there's people out there that's putting their lives on the line. Right. They know what's happening and they still put their life out there. And I'm like, every time, anything I do, man, I have got a slice of pizza. Like, man, you fucking, oh, you like your pizza, huh? Oh, it feels nice and comfortable. We'll get your pizza. Like, hey, you want to go watch a movie? Cool. Oh, you watching movies now, huh? Like, people dying. Like, so it's just like, it's like a feeling of paralysis, man, of what can I do? Am I doing enough? You know, and I'll be honest too, man. I don't even know if I should be saying this on the pod. One of the things that really hurt, like that really like stung me is that the idea that Sudan has had problems in the past, man. Like I said, like the dudes that run around shooting people and these militias or whatever, they did this shit in a different part of the country 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about it and we knew it was wrong. And we said, you know, hey, this is wrong and we need attention and da da da. But I know deep down in my heart, man, we wasn't as urgent with it like we are now.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because I feel like, oh, because now it's home, right? Yeah. Sudan's a big country. It would be like, you know, Jason, you live in LA, Right. And you know if some bad shit happening in Chicago or in Dallas, right? You say, that's fucked up. That ain't right. Da, 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 da. But now because it's happening in L.A., you're really like, oh, my God. Like,
I got to do something about it.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. And it's not even Dallas, Chicago, that's not a good example because these places were like out in the country, man. Like these are poor folk, like truly poor folk. Truly people that don't hurt nobody, don't want to bother nobody, right? They were just trying to live their life. And so that's a messed up part, man.
I would just say, you know, feeling guilty is not going to help the situation, you know, and just kind of being the guy that's spearheading it is something that will eventually, even though the answer might not be clearly presenting itself today. If you, you know, live in the truth of the situation and having your spirit involved in it, eventually, whether it's tomorrow or next week or a month from now, I feel like the answer will present itself and you'll be able to, you know, have that moment of clarity where you're like, okay, now I'm walking in the right thing and I'm actually helping. But it's just when things are fucked up, that's really what it is. It's just fucked up, you know? And it just sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Anyways.
Yeah.
Whatever y'all do, just keep the word alive. That's the one thing I ask, because like I just don't want it to be like every other social media craze where hot for a couple of weeks and then all right, we on to something else.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to feel fatigued, but like to bring it back full circle. So a world with amnesia won't forget your name or whatever. Like, so a world with amnesia won't forget what's happening to these people.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. We got anything else, guys?
I'm late, but I just joined.
Oh man, Trey, you missed everything. You missed an up. You missed a down.
You missed the Hennessy.
Oh man, Trey, hey, let me just say you'll listen to this podcast and you're gonna call for a third two podcast. Jason coming through helped balance it out.
Oh,
but there was a point where your boy Justin was oh man, he was we was dropping them motherfucking D's on him.
He was befuddled.
I want you to go back and listen to All Eyes on Me, man.
I'll go through that album. I liked it, but I just thought if it was a single CD, it would have been amazing. And instead it was, all right, skip this shit. All right, skip this one. Oh, okay, this one's good, like that.
No way. It's no way you can skip some songs on All Eyes on Me.
Oh, man, it's mad songs.
Oh, God, here we go with this shit again.
Uncle Filler. Uncle Filler. Oh, man. Or, Trey, you got any statement you want to make?
Listen, the West is back. I claim this as a win, and I ain't even here yet.
Oh, brother, you ain't listened to this shit yet. I'll tell you that.
Hopefully, Jason and Justin held it down.
They tried. Jason helped because Justin was trying, but it's like, well, you got. It was a trap. We told Justin it's gonna be all Tupac heads. All y'all gonna stack in the deck, and instead it was like I crawl behind him, and then Jer will push him, and he fall over. When that shit used to be in high school, we was doing that shit, man. We killed him with Hennessy enemy references, man. Oh man, we told him his phone almost died, and we said, all right, man, go to the bartender and ask for a Thug Passion.
That's a money request.
Shit. All right. Go ahead and let me wrap this up. All right. This has been Black Opinions Matter. Motherfucker. Special thanks, of course, to Jason Madison, to Justin Kinsley, to John Gervais, to Rob Lopez, the producer. Peace.